Welcome to This Family Life, a podcast where parents share their stories on how they organise the chaos of family life. My name's Nicole Avery, and as the host, I have the absolute pleasure of interviewing parents of all family types and sizes to find out the simple things they do to make family life easier and more fun. Hello and welcome to episode 27 of This Family Life. In this episode, I'm speaking with Marta. Marta's been a long-time reader of the blog. We've exchanged emails, text, Instagram comments, but this is the first time I've had the pleasure to chat with her in real life. And from the minute I spoke with her, I could really hear her love for her family and how she's using planning to make family life easier for them. In the podcast, Marta shares honestly with us and she tells us about how her and her husband divide up the household tasks. She shares what her morning routine looks like. She shares the importance of support networks when you have a child with special needs. And then we also talk about the challenges and benefits of having one child. Marta has some great resources for you. I've put those links into the show notes, which you can find on planningwithkids.com/podcast. So I definitely recommend checking them out. There's some great books and also some resources for mums. So I'll now put you over to the interview with Marta. Today I'm talking to Marta. Marta lives in Melbourne with her son and her husband, and I'll hand over to Marta to talk a little bit about herself and her family. Welcome, Marta.
Thank you, Nick. Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity for giving me the time to talk to you for this podcast, which is, I've been listening to all the series.
Oh,
and I found it really helpful, and I really enjoy listening to the podcast series.
Thanks. It's nice to have you on. So, Marta, you've got a husband and a son, and your son has special needs. Do you want to talk a bit about his needs and what's been recently diagnosed with your son?
Yes, of course. So my son is actually, he is now 6 years old, and he was diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder when he was 2 years and 10 months. So it has been quite a while now. It's been 4 years. So I kind of like me and my husband would kind of get used to it, like get the hang of it, of how to look after and how to provide the support that he needs. The reason that he was diagnosed back then is because I noticed that he had a language delay at 2 years and 10 months before that. So at 18 months checkup with the maternal child health nurse, I noticed there is a language delay at the time. So I actually bring it up with the maternal health nurse. And then the health nurse at that time say that we shouldn't be too worried about it because every children is developing differently. So some children will be really quick, some children will be a bit slower, and then they will pick up later. So she said that I shouldn't be too worried. Let's just wait until my son reached two years old. And when I come back to have the second checkup, she actually do the normal checkup again. And then she asked me some questions and I said, everything's on point at the time, except that again, I still noticed there is a language delay with my son. So she then did a Briggs test to test all the developmental points and everything. And then the results showed that my son has a language delay, and she agreed with me that we probably should take this a little bit further. And then she then suggested for me to see a pediatrician. So she then referred me to see a pediatrician from the council. So all the process of the diagnosis started from there. And then, it has been probably quite a long process, but it wasn't really long because sometimes when I read other people's experiences with similar spectrum disorder diagnosis, it could take much longer. It could take 1 year, 2 years, or even 3 years, 4 years without clear diagnosis. So my son was pretty lucky. So he was diagnosed within, I would say, less than a year after I found out that he has a language delay.
So has he attended kinder and is he at school? What's he up to these days, Marta?
Yes, so now he attends a special school for autistic children, and he is now in prep. So this year he's starting prep, and last year he was in kinder four, and the year before that he was in kinder three, and he just attended mainstream kinder because there is no special needs kinder.
Yeah, it's good that he's got a school that suits his needs. So I guess obviously there's some challenges that come with having a child who is on the spectrum. How do you think, what changes have you had to make to, I guess, organising routines in the morning, etc., to help him get ready to school? Is there special stuff that you do to make it as easy as possible for him?
Yes. So what I've been trying is to just do things as normal as I could. So I do not make any, a lot of adjustment or anything like that. So everything just like as normal, apart from that I make visual schedule for him, because a lot of people on the spectrum is actually thriving better with scheduled patterns, and a lot of them are also visual. So I've been using visual schedule and using routines and plan schedule for him, so it will be easier for him to see visually on that schedule what he needs to do next and everything. However, once he knows it, within like maybe a week or something or a few days, he normally get used to it. And even if I remove the schedules, he normally knows what to do anyway. However, if I put the schedule there or I leave the schedule there, it is there for him to just, check again. And it is there as a reminder for him, and it is easier for him to see.
And I think that, I guess, when you have it, for the people, friends I know who've got children who, I've got friends who have children, I guess, on the spectrum, that, it is a spectrum, some mildly autistic, and then others that are probably, quite significant and are going to need care for the rest of their lives. They've actually learnt a lot from their child and find there's been a lot of lessons that they've learned from, I guess, watching how their child interacts with the world. Have you had those sort of learnings as well? I guess, has your son taught you things about how he sees the world?
The way I learn about him is that he actually sees the world pretty much similar like the way we see it. However, maybe it's not as complete as I see it. So he probably see it in parts like a puzzle, like he see it in a different parts of a puzzle instead of like looking it as a whole,
okay,
a whole picture. Yes. And so he's really good at details. He's really good at attention to detail. So he loves Lego and things like that. So even the smallest part of Lego, which I found it really confusing, and then it's all the same color, similar colors. It's really small and things like that. He's really good at it. He enjoys playing Lego a lot. Yeah. So he's really good at seeing details.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, obviously you have one child. It has both bonuses and, I guess challenges. What would you say,
yes,
say some of the advantages and disadvantages are of having a single child?
I would say the advantages is probably it is easier in a way, although it is not 100% or like fully easier, because he has a special needs, and that's also one of the reasons why we decided that we're only going to have one, so we could devote our full attention to him. In a way, it is easier because then I can obviously give my full attention to him, and it's not that I have to divide it between him and his siblings. And I also heard as well from other people's experiences that if the sibling is neurotypical, it is in a way sometimes easier but also harder, because they tend to have less attention from the parents, because obviously the parents need to give more attention to the children with the special needs. And then the sibling tend to get, the second, like, they are being put in the second position. Not that their parents want to do that, but it's naturally happening.
Yeah.
It just happens like that. Yes. So in a way, the advantages is that, and I can give full attention to him, and I do not have to, divide my attention and have to do this with while he's doing other things, and I have to, give attention to my other children and things like that. But I suppose the disadvantages is, I suppose, he is alone by himself when he's at home. So he doesn't have any other siblings where he could actually learn how to take turn takings, how to do sharing in terms of toys or playings or things like that, or role play. So I have to do that with him.
And it's funny because I can sort of, I've got the reverse, like, you know, things like the disadvantages, you know, my kids, I sometimes have to say to myself, okay, well, they've got each other. They may not have as much time with me as what I would ideally like. I think every family situation, whichever you have, you know, has its advantages and disadvantages. And I can remember, especially with my youngest, just thinking I had so little compared to my first child, for example, how much one-on-one time my youngest child had with me was just so small. But I thought, okay, well, he's got all these other people to love him. So, you know, I think, you know, there's no perfect family. Each one has its challenges and its advantages. It's just lovely to see that. I just love your attitude that, you know, the decision that you've made is because obviously your child's really important to you and you want to devote. So I think that's a really beautiful philosophy to have. And your partner, I know, I think he likes cooking. Is that right, from some of the email exchanges? So does he, is he helpful around the house, and how do you break down the chores amongst the two of you in the home?
Yes. So yes, he likes cooking and he likes playing golf, but yeah, cooking is also one of his hobby. And so we both do cooking at home. However, sometimes he told me that he found cooking is quite relaxing for him. So I let him do the cooking while I take care of all the other stuff.
Nice.
Because I'm a full-time stay-at-home mom and he's working full-time. So I tend to take care of the other household tasks. And I do most of the other cleaning stuff, like vacuum and mopping the house, clean the bathroom, sinks, toilets, those boring stuff. And
yeah,
then also the laundry, the ironing, mostly I do it. Sometimes he helps. However, most of the time I'm normally the one doing the other household stuff. Yes.
And do you get your son helping you with any of the tasks around the house? Has he started that at his age yet?
Yeah, so because I've been reading your stuff as well. Like I should train him and stuff. And so I'm trying to do those stuff as well, but trying to be realistic with his delay as well. So
yes,
what I normally ask him to do is, for example, basic stuff, like after he finished his food, I ask him to put his bowl or his water bottle at the kitchen bench or at the sink. And every time he comes home from school, I always ask him to take off his shoes, take off his socks, take off his uniforms and everything, and then put them into the laundry basket. And he is able to do those stuff as well. And so after he plays as well, I will ask him to tidy up and then put all his toys back into the toy space area or into the toys boxes. And he's able to do that.
That's a perfect base. Because I think the thing is you know, you're obviously starting somewhere and you need to make sure it's age appropriate and skill and development appropriate for your child. And that provides a great base if they start just looking over, you know, things for themselves. And then as that moves on, they can start looking at doing something that contributes to the family. Just getting them to do some stuff for themselves is important, I think.
Yeah, that's correct. Mainly to get him to be independent, to be able to look after himself first before he's able to help with the more complicated stuff around the house.
Absolutely. So is he sort of getting his own lunch, you know, his lunchbox, like putting it in his bag is he at a stage where he can do that and get his school bag ready and that sort of stuff? Or is it something that you're still assisting him with at this time?
Yes. So with his lunchbox, he's able to take it out, and also the water bottle, he's able to take them out from the backpack and then put them on the kitchen bench. And then he's able to put his backpack as well to where I normally put the backpack. However, he's not able yet to prepare his own lunchbox. So yeah, I will be the one who prepare it, or my husband. It's actually my husband now, so he has been taking over that task. So he's the one
that's so lucky.
Yeah. So he prepares the lunchbox in the morning while I help to prepare my son to get ready to school, like brushing his teeth, putting on his uniform, socks, shoes, and everything in the morning. Because morning normally, like, we all tend to be more in a hectic schedule, so everyone normally. So we divide the task, and then I will concentrate and focus on our son, and my husband will just prepare the lunchbox.
But I love that idea. I love the idea of single tasking, because especially Kids focus better if you're focusing on them and not distracted and doing different things. And I imagine that's probably even more so with a child with like your son. So the fact that, you know, your husband will do the lunchbox is awesome. So I still do lunchboxes for my primary school kids. The secondary school kids are supposed to do their own, but it's getting towards the new exam period. So the older ones, I've given them a bit of a leave pass just in the minute. But, I think, you know, just having, I think that really helps make mornings calmer if everyone knows exactly what they're doing and who's doing it, because it prevents any of those sort of, oh, I thought you did it, I thought you do it. So it sounds like you've got that really sorted out.
Yes, we sort it out and we divide the task so it is clear who's doing what, because even though our son is able to put on like clothes and then his pants, he's very easily get distracted. So for example, if I leave him and I do the lunchbox and I ask, oh, could you please do this or wear your uniform quick or things like that, and he's easily get distracted, especially if he see other things or if he see his toys, then he will stop. Yeah, and he will stop and then not doing it. So he's not like at that stage where he can totally focus, independent, finish his task, then you can move on to the other things that you want to do. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned before that you're a full-time stay-at-home mum. Do you have time in your week to do things that you love and that help take care of you?
Yes. So I am fortunate that I'm able to stay at home. So at the beginning, I just took a maternity leave from work last time for 1 year. Then after that, we decided, okay, probably I should just stay home and look after him. And then maybe one day I can return to work. However, after he got the diagnosis, then I decided that it is probably best for me to focus being a full-time stay-at-home mom, so I can focus on giving the attention and also focus on arranging the schedule for the therapies and stuff like that. So I'm remaining to stay at home. And now, because this is the first year that my son actually goes to school, so now the bulk of the time, like from Monday to Friday, it is actually a bit freed up for me, so I can do houseworks during those weekdays, so it doesn't have to be all done on a weekend, which is fantastic. So I can divide the tasks on weekdays and I still can set aside some time for myself, whether it is just watching a movie at home or watching a movie at the cinema just by myself, or just having a coffee for half an hour, then I go back, or even just staying at home, just listening to music or reading a book or doing some short meditation. I do have the time to do that, which is lucky. I consider myself lucky to be able to have that time.
But I think you gave some great examples there, because I think some mums, I mean, I know at first I did, get really caught up on, oh, I've got to have time for myself. And it's like, it was a big thing. Like, I needed to go out and do something, or I needed to go get a massage, or you know, go and get my nails done or something. But having time to yourself is really as simple as sitting down and being uninterrupted, I think, for 20 minutes and having a cup of tea and reading a book that you love. You know, you mentioned a lot of nice small things that I think are really achievable to fit into your day. So it's great to see you have time for that. Do you also have a support network to help you? Because I guess, obviously, motherhood, you need a support network, but then a child with special needs would probably need some more support. Do you have support networks to help you with that?
Yes. So, in a way, yes and no. What I mean by that is, in terms of family, I don't, because my parents and my husband's parents, all of them live interstate. So none of them living in Melbourne. So we are pretty much on our own. So we kind of support each other. That's how we divide the tasks and everything. So for example, if my husband needs his own me time on the weekend, obviously, because he can't do it on the weekdays due to work, then I let him to have his own me time, whether it's going for a massage or whether he's going for a game of golf or just watching a movie, then I will look after our son at home and just stay home on the weekend. Or in terms of other support network, yes, we do have friends. Not that we are ever able to actually ask them to look after our son. Not that they do not want to. It's just that because he has special needs, we think, you know, he requires more, more care, especially because he has a speech delay. Not everyone will understand what he said, especially people who are not that close to him. So we normally just take turns between ourselves to look after him if one of the other needs to go out. However, in terms of the other support networks, like therapists and a team of professionals, we do have them. And also I do have a support group of other mothers through Facebook group and also face-to-face weekly meetings. There is a group called My Time, which is consists of like mothers of children of special needs. It doesn't have to be ASD. So it can be other needs like Down syndrome or dyslexia or other special needs. And then we all gather together for 2 hours on a weekly basis where we can share, and we have a topic normally on a weekly basis where we can share. And sometimes we have a guest speaker so we can support each other, talk to each other, share with each other, and then also support, also sharing resources that we know with each other.
And is that just Melbourne based, or do you know if that's further around Australia as well?
I think it should be around Australia, but I'm not 100% sure on that, but don't quote me on that. However, it is run by Playgroup Australia. So it is a part of Playgroup Australia and it is funded by the government. So my assumption is it is also should be available in other states.
I'll find a link for that and put in the show notes, because that sounds like a fantastic resource. Have you been going?
Yes.
Have you been going there long?
I've been going. So I started this year. So it's actually available. It has been available for years and years. However, I did not know that there is a childminding service available. So last time I thought if I go there and my son, you know, like still in kinder only 2 days a week, and then on the day, if they run it on the day that my son is not in kinder, then that means I will have to bring my son. And I thought, you know, probably I won't be able to just sit down and then talk if he wants to run around or if he gets bored, and then no one will be able to look after him. But later on, I found out that there is a childminding service available. So one of the moms actually come and then she's looking after the children while we are having a talk, which is lovely. So at least we have that 2 hours just for ourselves. However, since I attend this year, and my son already goes to school, so I've been attending all this year.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll move on to the rapid fire questions. Questions that I ask most of my guests. What book would you say has had the biggest influence on you as a parent? And it doesn't have to be a parenting book.
Oh, okay. So I actually got a few.
Yep.
So when he was small, What to Expect series, I don't know whether you have heard that.
Mm-hmm.
That actually helps me a lot. So what to expect when you are pregnant, what to expect during the toddler years, or what to expect during the first 3 years. That actually helps me. That's how I actually find out as well that he has a language delay from that book, because it is not an exact thing. However, the book gives me some sort of guidance of what I should expect.
What the range of normal was.
Correct. Yes. And then after he's diagnosed, obviously, there is a good book that I really found it really, really helpful. It's called The Autism Discussion Page by Bill Nason. They are really, really good books. So he's got two books. One is with a blue cover, another one with a green cover. Both are really, really excellent resources. And for myself, I find it the book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff for Women by Kristen Carlson.
It's really
good. Yes, I love the series of the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
And so who was the author of that one, Marta? Kristen Carlson, was it?
Yes, Kristen Carlson.
I'll put links to those in the show notes as well. They sound like great recommendations, those last couple of ones. Thank you for that. What's the last item you've bought that's helped make family life easier for you guys?
The last item I bought is actually a blender. So that is actually to replace the old blender, which is already been like 8 years. So it's kind of like falling apart. So I bought another blender, and I always use it to make a fruit smoothie in the morning.
Yep.
That I drink, and my husband also drink. We have a juicer. However, I found that juicer normally they will throw away all the fiber, so we prefer to have the fiber and then we take everything, so we use a blender to make the fruit smoothie.
Yes.
So it is a blender.
I actually would like a really high speed sort of Vitamix sort of style blender.
Yeah, they are really expensive though.
I just bought a
Sunbeam basic one.
I use my food processor to make my smoothie in it because I use quite a lot of stuff, so it needs that. And for the kids, I've got one of those small sort of shake and go sort of things. It was like $40 for Target. But my dream wish list does have this, you know, one of those big, really big high motorized Vitamix that are on my one day list. You know, I'll keep waiting for that.
Yes. I think we should save for that. I think it's worth it.
Yeah.
Based on the review. However, yeah, it is really expensive.
So what advice would you give to a new mum? And it doesn't have to relate to babies, but something that you've learned in your parenting journey that's been very helpful to you.
Okay, I have three things. I think planning ahead is really important. Set aside time for ourselves, however small that is, even if it's only 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it's really important to just stop. Take a deep breath, reconnect to yourself, you know, do your own, I don't know, facial manicure if you have time at home. If you don't have time, just reading a book, listening to music, lighting a candle or aromatherapy burner. It will be nice. And if you could have a sport team, whether it is your friends or your family or like a support network group, like I mentioned before to you, like my time, it is really supportive. So you are in this journey together and you don't feel alone. And if you need help, you can actually seek help or asking around. Probably one of them or two of them or some of them might be able to point you to the right direction or to help you with some resources.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for that, Marta. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And I can just sense the warmth and love in your family. And I think that's a pretty magical thing to have. And obviously, you know, you've had some challenging times and you seem so calm through it all, which I think staying calm through that sort of stuff is obviously a very, very positive. And I guess it ticks on over into everything and affects everything that you do. So, you know, it was lovely to hear you and talk about your family with such a positive energy. And I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Nicole. Thank you again for giving me the time to do this interview. It's been lovely and I really love enjoying the podcast series and then reading your blog. It's really helpful for me.
Well, like me, I hope you found some tips to help you organise the chaos of family life in this episode. If you've enjoyed the show, I'd love it if you would subscribe in iTunes. And if you really wanted to share the love, you could even leave us a review for us in iTunes as well. Leaving a review means it will be easier for other families to find the show and they can benefit from the tips too. If you'd like to get in touch, the easiest way to do so is to head to planningwithkids.com/podcast. You can find all my contact details there. Thanks so much for listening to This Family Life.
Jackrabbit FM.
For your ears.
Who is that? Hi, Puck Pass.